is yours. Men have searched the earth, the air, even the sun and stars in their never-ending quest for knowledge. And now, in an NBC educational feature, the United States Department of the Interior Office of Education brings you the wonders of that unique establishment, the Smithsonian Institution, dedicated to the increase and diffusion of knowledge.
Before we begin our program today, let me tell you of a special offer. The World Is Yours is prepared an illustrated booklet outlining future programs with suggested reading material. You can have it free of charge. Simply send a penny postcard to The World Is Yours in Washington. Now, why don't you do that immediately after the program?
Evening, Mira. Jurek speaking. What? Yes, this is the editor. No, give it a half column on page 3. No, page 1 is full. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Chief, is that murder story just off the wire?
Now, let's see. Another stay of execution, eh?
Yeah.
They should have cooked that guy 6 months ago. Put it on page 5.
Huh? Muggsy on page 5? Oh, you'll hurt its feelings, Chief.
Page 5, and don't bother me.
Look, Chief, we can kill that grasshopper story on page 1 and put this in its place.
That grasshopper story stays. Now scram.
Grasshoppers on page 1 and Muggsy on page 5? What kind of business is that?
You heard what I said.
Okay. The grasshoppers stay on page 1.
Yeah, wait a minute. Come here.
Yeah?
Now, what's the matter with that grasshopper story?
Well, look at it. Professor Oscar J. Strohmeyer predicts return of gigantic swarm of locusts. These winged ravagers of wheat and grain fields are increasing at an alarming rate. And if the... Oh, what kind of stuff is that for the front page?
You bird brain, you don't know a story when you see one.
But since when do insects get the front page?
Listen, my little man. Insects were front page news when there weren't any front pages.
Now I ask you, Chief, has a grasshopper got any sex appeal?
And they called you a reporter. My friend, that grasshopper you're squawking about has more potential news wrapped up in his little frame than 100 murderers like Muggsy.
Oh, come on now, Chief.
Brother, let me tell you something. Do you know that if the insects in this world could ever rally themselves together for one gigantic onslaught, they'd make the combined armies of the world look like a bunch of boys on a Sunday school picnic?
I think you're delirious, but it'd make a swell story if it were true. Oh, but it couldn't happen.
No? Here, sit down here a minute. You know what a flea looks like?
Sure, my dog has hundreds of them.
Know what a mosquito looks like?
Who doesn't?
Well, would you believe that those two little fellows have helped to change the course of history?
What?
Would you believe that the flea and the mosquito have had more to do with the writing of world history than Napoleon, Alexander, and Caesar combined?
If that were true, the story would have broken years ago.
And if you keep your mouth shut, I'll prove it to you. You remember your high school history, don't you? About the bubonic plague?
Uh-huh. Swept across Europe about 600 years ago, didn't it?
Yeah, that's when it was at its worst. It started in the Orient years before the birth of Christ. By the time of Columbus, it had swept over the entire known world. They didn't have newspapers then, but if they had, the headlines would have made your hair stand on end. Whole cities wiped out by the disease. The dead being piled in the streets. Half the population of Europe wiped out.
Gee, didn't they try to stop it?
Well, they didn't know how to stop it. They didn't even know what caused it. A man would take the fever, and in 3 days, he'd be dead.
Well, what did cause it?
A flea.
A flea? Like my dog has, you mean?
No. These were rat fleas.
Oh.
Fleas that carried within their bodies the dreaded bubonic plague disease. Where the rats were, the fleas were. And where the fleas were, was death.
Fleas? Mangy little fleas doing all that?
Mangy little fleas, yes, sir. No bigger than the head of a pin. And yet they stained the pages of history with blood. Those mangy little fleas wrecked empires, defeated armies, and pushed civilization back 300 years.
What a heading for a news story. The life and conquest of a flea.
And the first paragraph to that story would read, "The first of Mr. Flea's important conquests was that of the Roman Empire. For it was the flea who was in part responsible for the decline of that most powerful of all empires."
My history books never told me anything about that.
Well, look at it this way. The Roman Empire and its glory included most all of the known world, constant military activity, concentration of large populations in the cities, extensive trade relations with other parts of the world, mobilization of huge armies and camps, and all that with no modern sanitary knowledge.
And that meant trouble.
And who took advantage of it? That's right. Our friend, the flea.
What?
Those conditions were ideal for him. Loaded with enough disease to wreck 6 Roman empires, the fleas were carried by rats to the crowded cities, to the army camps, right into the homes. Epidemics tore at the vitals of the empire. Millions died. They couldn't stop the disease. The disease joined with the other factors working to bring about ruin in the Roman Empire. When the epidemics burned themselves out after hundreds of years, it was only because the Roman Empire had fallen. The barbarian immigrants were left to fight over the spoils.
Perhaps if there hadn't been any fleas, there'd still be a Roman Empire. Who knows?
Yes, who knows? Oh, but that isn't all. A little insect has dogged the footsteps of every general in every army from Caesar to Napoleon, and even after him.
Well, I can't imagine anyone making more history than Napoleon.
Yeah, that's right. He laughed at opposition. He held all of Europe in the palm of his hand, and no one seemed able to do anything about it. Remember what the history book said? Napoleon at the head of 500,000 men marching across Europe into Poland, his encampment there, preparations being made to enter Russia, Poland. That's where his troubles began.
His Excellency, Napoleon Bonaparte, the Emperor of France.
Your Excellency.
Your Excellency.
Well, Mezhnikov, everything is ready. We start moving into Russia at dawn.
Yes, Your Excellency.
Your Excellency, do you think it wise? The men...
What's wrong with the men?
Sickness. Ever since we entered Poland, sickness in our ranks has increased. Every village in Poland is the same. Filthy. The men can't live in the houses. They're overrun with rats and lice. They'd have to camp without tents.
And what do you suggest, my dear General?
Stay here in Poland for a while. Reorganize. Clean up these wretched hovels and cut down our sick rate.
Did it ever occur to you, General, that conditions might be different in Russia?
What is it asking too much of an army to endure the hardships of war when their ranks are weakened by sickness?
You are soft-hearted, like an old woman, General. Russia lies before us. We have only to march in and take it. What of a little sickness? We've had sicknesses before.
True, but never has it spread so rapidly among our men. I would suggest nipping it while we have a chance. Once we're on the march and open to attack from the Russians, there'll be no chance to check it.
You say the men are sick because the conditions here in Poland are so bad. Is that right?
That is correct. Filth everywhere.
Very well. We'll march out of here and leave the filth and disease behind.
I would advise...
You would advise? It is I who will do the advising.
I am sorry, Your Excellency.
Besides, you are the Surgeon General. It's up to you to stop the sickness. There is Russia open before us, and you want to stay here and lick our imaginary wounds and give them a chance to prepare for us.
Your Excellency knows best.
Nothing can stop me now, Mon-General. Nothing. Soon the flag of France will fly over Russia just as it does tonight over Poland. Shh. Stand aside. That rat creeping across the floor. Ha! That is how Russia will fall before us, Mon-General. One thrust and poof, they're ours. Come over here, Mon-General. Look. A few seconds ago, this rat was alive. Now even the lice which it carried in his fur are deserting. Harmless little lice, which you stamp upon like so. And in a few weeks, all Russia will be as harmless as these little lice. We will stamp upon them. So, so, so. Stop us now. Could these lice stand before us? No. Nor can Russia. In a few weeks, all Russia will be as helpless as these little lice that creep across the floor. Harmless little lice.
Harmless little lice, Napoleon said. Nothing could stop him. Armies had been powerless before him. Every country in Europe prayed for allegiance with him so that they might escape his wrath. But not so with our friend the louse. Tiny, unseen, but an ally that Russia hadn't bargained for. Into Russia marched Napoleon, and with him went a disease that had been a mere spark in Poland. A few months later, the tiny little insect that had marched out of Russia in the packs and in the provisions of the army had fanned it to white-hot flame.
Everywhere we go, it's the same, Your Excellency. The Russians burn their villages before us. Food running low, water poisoning, and our men dying off like flies. That awful disease.
Be still. Is this heat bad enough without having to listen to you? 3 months. That's all I've heard from you.
But if this keeps up, we will have no army at all. 30,000 men wounded and 100,000 sick. The fever is doing us more damage than the Russians.
We'll be nearing Moscow soon. The hospital's there.
If the Russians haven't burned the city like they burned every other one before us.
Let them burn everything if they like. I said before and I say now. Nothing can stop me. A little disease. In a few weeks, I will stamp upon all of Russia just as I stamped upon those harmless little lice back in Poland.
Those harmless little lice again. He remembered them with scorn. But just then, when Napoleon seemed to have Russia within his grasp, the disease-bearing lice began to clog the wheels of that mighty war machine. History was being made.
This begins to get interesting. Go ahead.
Well, as you know, Napoleon marched into Moscow to find that most of it was burned to the ground.
Yes?
There was no shelter for the troops. The little food the Russians had left behind was fast spoiling. The soldiers were fast dying from the deadly effects of typhus, the lice. They were multiplying. Every louse meant another case of typhus. And then 5 months after leaving Poland, the louse accomplished what every other army in Europe had failed to do.
You mean that, Your Excellency? Retreat?
Yes, retreat. We're leaving Moscow tomorrow. If we stay here much longer, it will mean being hemmed in here for the winter. If the Russians don't get us, the fever will.
We couldn't hope to stand against the Russians now. Only 80,000 of our men are fit for duty.
80,000 left of 500,000 men.
2/3 of all our dead lay low by fever. That fever, it's done damage we'll never be able to repair. The Russians could not have done so good a job.
I don't worry about the Russians anymore, General. Typhus fever is our worst enemy now.
I've had the men working all night, Your Excellency, digging graves. 1,000 went last night.
Ah, the man with a bell again, General.
Shall I pass the order down the line, Your Excellency?
Yes, pass the order. We retreat in the morning. They've beaten us.
Bring out your dead!
They've beaten us, Napoleon said. But he didn't know that he'd been beaten by an army of lice. That retreat from Moscow was a nightmare. Harassed by the pursuing enemy, the broken remains of Napoleon's defeated army trickled out of Russia. Not like the roaring river that had swept into it, but now reduced to but a trickling, harmless stream. Only 20,000 sick and disheartened men left of the 500,000 that had entered Russia.
Boy, what a story for the headlines.
And who defeated him? Not Russia, but the typhus-bearing lice. Perhaps if Napoleon had been content to occupy Poland and attend to reorganization and sanitary control, that Russian campaign might have ultimately been a success, and Napoleon's power in Europe might have been permanently established.
And Europe would be ruled over by the House of Napoleon.
Right. But there were lice, and so history took another course.
You know, I hate to be a heckler, Chief, but after all, that's only one instance. Important, but perhaps that's the only time an insect ever bungled up the work.
Don't you think it.
Huh?
Why, disease has decided more wars than you can count. Read your history and notice how many times armies have had to turn back because of typhus or 100 other diseases. And when you read about typhus fever, think of the harmless-looking insect that carries it, the louse.
You said something about the mosquito, too. Another history maker?
In spades. You've heard about Haiti, haven't you? About how the Haitians' Republic was founded?
Some Negro revolting against the French, wasn't it? What was his name now? Oh, Toussaint Louverture. Yeah, that's it. He's the guy that led the Haitian Negroes to freedom, wasn't he?
Yeah, so history says. But they don't give much attention to his allies.
Well, I didn't know he had any. He and a few thousand Negroes were supposed to have driven the French out of Haiti, isn't that it?
Yeah, with the help of a few mosquitoes. Wait a minute. I'll send around to the morgue for something, and then I'll give you the inside info on that story. Hey, Slim. Slim?
Call me, boss?
Yeah. Go around to the morgue and pick up that file on insects, will you? Two big envelopes on the top shelf.
Okay, right away.
As I was saying, this Negro, Toussaint Louverture, is supposed to be the baby that got Haiti its freedom. Don't make me laugh. It was in 1801 when our friend Napoleon was making his row in Europe. When he heard about this Negro revolting, he sent one of his generals over with 25,000 men to put down the revolution. Well, the general landed to make short work of Louverture, drove him and his Negro army into the jungle, and then he followed to mop up and finish the revolution right there.
So?
So, the Negroes reorganized. But they couldn't have stood a chance against the French. You see, the French were too good for them. Mm. So what happened? Yellow fever mosquitoes went to work on the French, and in 2 years, 22,000 men were dead. The French had to leave, and Haiti was free.
Say, they ought to erect a monument to those mosquitoes.
Well, there is a monument to a mosquito. Not in Haiti, though.
Monument to a mosquito?
Uh-huh. Ever hear of the Panama Canal?
Oh. Here lies a mosquito who tried to stop the wheels of progress, eh?
Right. And the mosquito did stop them for a while, too. France tried to build the canal and failed, simply because she didn't know how to fight him.
Man against insect.
Well, sometimes man wins, sometimes the insect. The flea had his own way in Europe for centuries. The mosquito did just about as he pleased over here, until Uncle Sam came along and KO'd him.
Two little insects writing themselves into history. Gosh, why can't stories like that happen nowadays, Chief? Boy, I can see the headlines now. Mosquito.
Don't be so bloodthirsty, Oscar.
Yeah, but what headlines they'd make.
I'm afraid there'll never be any headline possibilities like that again. You see, mankind is wise to itself now and knows that unless it keeps the harmful insects in check, they'll push us right off the earth. Say, where's that kid I sent over to the morgue? Slim! Hey, Slim!
Coming, boys, coming.
Here you are.
File on insects.
Say, what'd you do? Stop to eat lunch?
Ah.
All right, Alakai. Alibi, Ike. You can close your mouth.
Well, they were stuck way in the back of a lot of paper.
Okay, from... now scram and do something to earn your $15,000 a year.
Some joke.
Well, let's see now. Here we are. This article we ran last December. Annual loss in dollars due to insects in the United States. Right, look at this.
Yes, Chief?
The yearly insect cost to the United States would finance the building of a new navy. Not only that, 1 month's loss would buy enough loaves of bread to make a stack high enough to reach to the moon. In other words, the annual loss due to insects in the United States runs not into the millions, but into the billions of dollars. Man has a pretty costly bone to pick with the insects eating away at his bankroll.
Boy, oh boy.
You're darn right. Insects eating away acres of crops, carrying disease, destroying forests, undermining our homes, having a swell time at our expense. And then you holler about putting that grasshopper story on page one.
Well, we'll skip that. But look, why don't we do something? I mean, gosh, Chief, I mean, well, it's serious.
You don't say so.
Yeah.
But really, we are doing something about them. Let me see. There's a feature article in the file here. Oh, yes. Smithsonian classifies and labels one of the largest collections of insects to be found in the world.
Well, what's so important about that?
Well, ever hear what that famous old ball player said?
Oh.
You can't hit what you can't see.
Oh.
Well, same applies here. If you don't know exactly what insect is doing the damage, how are you going to fight them? You get it?
Yeah. But how do they fight them? That's really the important part. I should think...
Yes, of course. You've seen them spraying trees with arsenate of lead.
Of course.
That's one way to fight insects on fruit and shade trees.
Oh, chemical control, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Then nature herself helps out a bit.
Well, that's one thing I know about them anyway. Birds eat insects. Am I right?
Yeah, that was a brainstorm. That's right, though. Ever hear the story about the monument that was erected to a bird?
No, Chief. Tell me about it.
Well, it happened out in Utah a couple of years before the 49ers marched across the continent into California.
Yeah?
Little band of people high in the Rockies were giving thanks to the Lord for the abundance that had been given them. They were proud of their fields of grain and their new homes. Land that had once been sagebrush and alkali, they had turned into fruitful farms. They had indeed something to be thankful about. And they gathered in their church to give thanks to the Lord.
And we wish to thank thee again, O Lord, for the many blessings that thou hast seen fit to bestow upon thy children of the western wilderness. We thank thee for guidance to a promised land. And we are especially humble and grateful for the abundance our crops will yield this coming harvest, an abundance that will abide us safely through the long and weary winter months to come. For all the many favors granted by children,
what's that strange buzzing sound? You hear it?
We thank thee,
but Martha, listen. Martha, do you know what that sound is?
Everybody, come quick, something.
What is it?
Millions of bucks and they're swarming all over our crops. They're eating up our crops.
I told you, Martha, come on. Good Lord. Look out there in the field. A great big black wave covering everything.
Well, what are they?
Well, they're crickets, billions of them.
If we don't do something, they need the whole crop by next fall.
Just jump, man. We got to dig into the head of this thing.
Oh, Martha. Well, we're eating up what took us years to do.
We have to sit here and watch them eat the bread right out of our mouths. Oh, why did the good Lord do this to us?
It means starvation this winter. Starvation after all our work.
Might as well try to turn back the ocean. They're eating every growing thing.
Look!
What?
Everybody look! Up there in the sky!
My good Lord, what now? The great white cloud. No! No, it can't be.
What is it, John?
Four insects.
Two. The birds.
Martha.
Millions of them. Coming right down toward the field of cricket
fire. They are birds, Martha. They're diving down on the cricket.
They're fighting the cricket.
Eating their own.
Martha, we'll save the birds and save
us. God sent him, John. I know he did. He saved us.
Sea and birds that came over the lake and saved the Mormon pioneers were seagulls. Great snow-white seagulls, to which the Mormons later built a monument in thanksgiving to the savior of their crops.
Another swell headline. Swarm of seagulls saves wilderness pioneers.
So there you have it. If insects aren't carrying disease, they're attacking our crops.
They send someone to our front doors to attack us. And then, when we aren't looking, the rear guard sneaks around to the back door and eats our food supply.
Said in true newspaper fashion, Oscar, my lad. Well, that's it in a nutshell. But the strange part of it is, mankind didn't even try to stop insects until almost after the American Civil War. Locusts had brought famine upon the people of Egypt hundreds of times before the birth of Christ. Insects had carried disease from one corner of Europe to another. Insects were dealing mankind one death blow after another. And he wasn't doing anything about it.
Till after the Civil War, you said. Well, what happened then?
Well, some biologists in Washington got their heads together and decided to try something that had never been tried before.
Yes?
1888 it was. An insect pest called the cottony cushion scale was sweeping through the California citrus trees. The damage was running into the millions, and the fruit trees were fast dying off. One day, the Secretary of Agriculture had a visitor. One Professor Riley.
Good morning. Is the Secretary of Agriculture in?
I think he is, Professor Riley. You can go right in if you like.
Thank you.
Oh, hello, Professor Riley. What's the big smile for?
Well, I've done it, Mr. Secretary.
What?
I've traced the origin of the cottony cushion scale. Australia.
Australia? So that's where that pest came from. Well, now what?
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. I want permission to send someone to Australia to...
Send someone to Australia?
Yes, don't you see? In Australia, these insects which are doing our fruit trees so much harm are kept in check.
Well, how?
Some other insect feeds on these cottony cushion scales. That's why they cause so little trouble there.
You mean them?
Yes. Find out which insect does that.
And bring him to America?
And breed him and turn him loose on the fruit trees to kill off those insects.
Why, if it works, it'll save the fruit industry.
Absolutely. And it will work. May I do it?
By George, I believe you, Professor Riley. The reins are in your hands. Send someone to Australia. We want those insects.
A man named Cobra went to Australia and brought back an insect that did save the California fruit industry. And guess what the insect was?
Oh, I can't. What was it?
It was a she. the ladybug.
Well, I'll be darned.
And when Uncle Sam saw how successful the ladybug was in ridding the fruit trees of the cottony cushion scale, he opened the doors on new fields. Biological control. Insects against insects. The most powerful and also the most economical means of fighting harmful insects.
But how come we lose so much from insect attacks? We've got the answer and we know how to fight them.
They multiply so fast and they're hard to get at. Why, there are hundreds of thousands of different kinds, remember? And the sad part of it is, they like the same food we like.
Only they eat theirs raw, eh?
Yeah, that's right. It's a fight that we can't cease to carry on for 1 minute. Once we let insects start without trying to check their destructive ways, we're lost. The boll weevil, for instance. That little bug crept over the Mexican border some years ago. And before steps were taken, he'd spread over the entire cotton belt down south.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard about the boll weevil.
Who hasn't? The most destructive enemy of the cotton plant. Some years, the damage done by them runs into $200 million. They never have gotten rid of that destructive little pest.
Well, what about these Japanese beetles we hear so much about?
Well, they found ways to curb that beetle. And so far, they've been pretty successful. But other insects have had pretty much their own way. The house fly, for instance. Best little spread of disease you ever saw. Fruit flies that take millions in toll every year. Termites. Those little white ants that eat away at the foundations of houses. All these insects need is a chance to get in a telling blow and whammo. A whole farm ruined. Thousands of pounds of cotton gone to waste. A fruit grove infested. And oranges go sky high. An epidemic disease running wild in some crowded city.
And insects start to write history again.
Exactly. Now, we might as well face the facts. It's man versus insects, and no holds barred, Oscar. Either we drive them away from the food we need to keep us alive, or, well, or else...
Or else, insects will rule the earth, and we won't be alive to read the history they make.
Now you have it. Now, we've come a long way since the days when two insects ruled over Europe. One full of bubonic plague and the other full of typhus fever. But even today, with modern methods, using insects to fight insects, chemical control and all the other means, destructive insects are still the greatest menace to man upon the earth. Once let them loose and... Well, I've said it 100 times. It's curtains for mankind.
I'll get it. Hello? No. No, this is Taylor. What? No, he didn't make a mistake. That grasshopper story stays on page one. What if Muggsy did get hung? Why, don't you realize, you dumb brain? That grasshopper has more news in his little frame than 1,000 murderers like Muggsy. And let me tell you something else. If you only knew the importance...